Support for this show comes from Saks. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe, like making vacation your whole personality with a camp shirt from Casablanca that screams Italian holiday. You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's suede Prada loafers for a dinner party or a bright theory blazer for the office. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Happy Saturday and welcome into another edition of Arrowhead Pride's Best of the Week. I'm the editor-in-chief of ArrowheadPride.com, Pete Sweeney, and this is the best of the Arrowhead Pride podcast network. We'll start, as usual, with the guys from Out of Structure, Matt Stagner and Ron Kopp, as they give their takes on the current state of the Chiefs offense. We continue on with my editor's show. That's around the 13-minute mark. Marinated takeaways from Chiefs and Eagles. Around the 26-minute mark, we go across the pond. It's the Great British Chiefs Show, our first look at the Buffalo Bills. We continue on around the 40-minute mark with Show and BK discussing the problems along the Chiefs' defensive line. And we finish up with Yahoo's senior NFL writer Charles Robinson as he breaks down what the Buffalo Bills have to do to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. That's around the 51-minute mark. But as I said, we'll start with the guys from Out of Structure. This is Arrowhead Pride's Best of the Week.
It does just seem like you mentioned, McColl back to his kind of just being a gadget player. He's great in that role, though. I mean, he is a great player in the, you know, that reverse that we had. It seemed like every single lineman leading him downfield, and he almost broke it all the way. He had Niang and Brown and Creed Humphrey all running downfield with him. I mean, you think that would have maybe been a touchdown, but it was a great play, and he's great in that role. It's just, you need him to be more than that. You'd think he'd be more than that by now, and he's just not. And so it's kind of tough, and no other receiver is really stepping up. So, yeah, we'll see what Josh Gordon does.
And yeah, that's a good point about them being tight end heavy, though. I'm looking at the snap counts now. You're right. Noah Gray had 27% of the snaps, 18, which is the same number as Blake Bell had as well. So they were getting those secondary tight ends on the field, and Jody Fortson had 15 snaps, so 22%. So all three of them right in that same range, which tells you that there were a lot of three tight end sets.
Yeah, and so I do think that was kind of a game plan of theirs, because the Philadelphia Eagles' second level of the defense, their linebackers, if you think our linebackers are bad, they might be even worse. And that's saying something, and maybe they're not worse. But the Eagles, that is definitely the weak point of their defense. And so taking advantage of that by – passing a lot from the tight end, you know, having a lot of linebackers on the field because you have so many tight ends. But the other thing too, with Josh Gordon, you mentioned that, you know, we hear the reports from Ian Rappaport that he could be ready as soon as week five. You know, I hate to say it, but I almost think maybe that's a little bit of the Chiefs just kind of knowing that they need him right now. And they're kind of almost pushing, you know, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, like, hey, we kind of need him to be here week five more than, you know, he's actually, you know, 100% ready to be in the offense, know the offense, you know, all well, because we know the offense is going to be hard to learn, and he's been here for less than a week. And I'm sure there was talks before that, but it kind of just shows you how little confidence they have right now in their secondary wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that it does. Well, moving on to sort of a new segment, I think now that we've been through four games that at least last year would have been a quarter of the season, if you divide the season up that way, now with 17 games, it's, let's call it 38, 39% of the season without doing the math. But now that we have a sample size, let's talk about some stats for the Chiefs, maybe some that we may have missed or maybe surprising. So, Ron, I know you did some research. Give me a few offensive stats, and let's see what we can take away from this sample size so far this season.
Yeah, we'll just start off with a few basic ones. And I think the big one right now is this – yards per play stat. They, you know, yards per play is the most efficient, or the smallest way to look at efficiency, right? Because it's yards per single play, not per game, not per drive. It's every play. And they lead the entire league in it. And they have the lead on the second team as much, like that range between the first and the second team is as much as it is between the second and eighth team right now. So they are kind of way ahead of the game right now in yards per play. That just shows you how good their offense is. They're second in scoring offense overall, first in points per drive too. But here's the thing: the least amount of drives total this year so far. They have had the least amount of possessions this year. That's pretty mind blowing. I think that has something to do with the defense. And even with the turnovers, which is the second highest rate in the league right now, they still have the second highest rate of drives ending in a score right now. So just kind of shows you how dominant they've been. Really, the only time they've been stopped is when they shoot themselves in the foot. And this offense is going to keep being dominant, especially, you know, maybe if Josh Gordon comes in and plays well, the offensive line is going to keep getting better. Yeah, Stags. Those stats just kind of tell you that this offense has been as dominant as we can expect and as it ever has been. It's just, you know, the turnovers have kind of, you know, made it maybe seem as not as dominant as before.
Yeah, there's some big numbers there. I mean, the yards per play, like you said, the offensive efficiency, you saw this week, this team was moving the ball at will. There was really, they had long, sustained drives this week, maybe more than what we've seen from Chiefs teams in the last few years. This team can move the ball whenever they want to, and now they can do it on the ground or in the air. Which is, again, something that maybe has been missing from this team in the past. And then, yeah, that number about the percentage of drives that end in a score, for them to be the second highest on that list while also being the second highest in the most turnovers, that's mind-blowing, because you think about how efficient, how many of those drives would have ended in a score had they not been turnovers, because a lot of those turnovers have been in the red zone. Or at least on the, you know, on the opposite, the opposition side of the field. So there is a really high percentage chance that if the Chiefs get the ball, they're gonna score, and that is it. That's a good feeling. This offense is as dominant, really, arguably, as it ever has been, or at least is trending in that direction. All they have to do is stop the turnovers, and they're gonna win 9 times out of 10. And no matter what the defense does.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And off the top of our head, we can just think of last week against the Chargers, the first 3 possessions that ended in turnovers were all possessions that were in Chargers territory, and they were driving pretty good. The Ravens game, that last possession, they fumbled away when they were about to score. So that's a good point. These drives aren't like, it's not like they're just throwing interceptions at the very beginning. They were already about to score. So. But we'll get to a few more stats here. And I thought this was pretty crazy. You know, as aggressive as Andy can be sometimes, and he hasn't really had the situation where he's needed to because the offense has been so dominant, but they have yet to go for a fourth down this year, which is, you know, kind of the flip side, because, you know, that we've seen opposing offenses go for fourth down so much. They have the fourth best red zone conversion percentage as well, 80%. That's no surprise. But how about this? And this goes along with the Chiefs having the least amount of possessions in the NFL. They have the second fewest third down attempts in the NFL, but also the highest conversion percent of third downs in the NFL. And what that screams to me, that my takeaway from that stat, is that this offense has been so efficient, they just don't get in the third and fourth downs. They just don't. And that's why they haven't been able to go for fourth down yet. That makes sense. This team gets the first downs, first and second downs, and when they get to third down, they're getting the conversion on 64% of the time, which is a huge number. That's a great rate. I mean, that's almost two thirds of the time. Two out of every 3 attempts, you're getting a first down on third down. I just can't stop that. And it's going to be continue to be hard to, because they played some pretty good defenses already. And I know there's going to be tough defenses coming up, but there's also going to be some lighter defenses that they'll have a little less trouble than against us, you know, some of the other teams they play. Yeah, I just think the offense has been dominant. I think that's the main takeaway. Not much, you know, there's not much analyzing that needs to be said about that.
Yeah, I think the offensive dominance has been, you know, maybe overlooked or slept on a little bit, because there have been times where they looked out of sync. You know, last week, Patrick Mahomes looked uncomfortable in the pocket. Early in the season, the run game, the timing was off. It didn't seem like Clyde was getting to where he needed to be when the offensive line was expecting, and vice versa. So I think there have been some issues on offense, but again, throw out the turnovers and everything else is basically a non-issue. Everything, they're basically unstoppable with or without turnovers. And again, if they clean up the turnovers, this is going to be just a show for the rest of the season. Let's talk about the offensive line specifically, though. I think some of the offensive stats really point to the massive overhaul that they've put in on the offensive line and how those guys are starting to come together. I was alluding to it just now, but really, I think we should have all expected the first couple games for this offensive line to still be finding their way, learning how to play together, learning how to play as a offensive line, learning how to play with Mahomes and with Clyde. But if you look at some of these stats, like the Chiefs are now eighth in the league in rushing yards. They're fourth in yards per carry at 5.1 yards per carry. And they have the fourth least sacks allowed per dropback. Those stats indicate to me that this offensive line is arguably already a top five unit, and they're still improving and they have room to improve. They faced four really good defenses. They've made some rookie mistakes here and there, but we hope that this line could be a top offensive line. I think they're pretty much almost there.
Man, especially when you're talking about in the run game, they are mowing dudes over. We already talked about it a little bit. And the one stat that really points to it, that is a really flip of the script from last year, shout out Football Outsiders. They have a great stat. It's called power success rate. And if you guys have followed AP, you've heard me talk about it a few times over the last year. Last year, I'll real quick, this is what power success rate is. It's the percentage of runs on third or fourth down, 2 yards or less to go, that achieved a first down or touchdown. Also includes runs on first and goal or second and goal from the 2 yard line or closer. So basically, short yardage conversions when it matters, right? Not a second and one, not a second and two, when it matters. Third downs, red zone. The Chiefs this year have converted on those situations 100% of the time. And that's tied with a few teams for the number one rate in the league. Last year, they were dead last in that category by a comfortable margin too, but they were about 50% last year. So one every two runs was not getting converted in those situations. That is a huge difference. And you saw it against the Eagles. It was very apparent how many third and ones, third and twos did they get into where they just easily converted with a run up the middle. I mean, this Chiefs offensive line is moving people right now. And I like your take. I like the top five offensive line take. The only reason I'm going to push back on it a little bit is the pass pro still isn't great. It still isn't perfect. I think Mahomes at times, like you mentioned, he hasn't helped him out sometimes with his pocket presence. We saw it against the Eagles. You know, Orlando Brown, actually, according to PFF, gave up 3 quarterback hits. He did not have a great game himself. Lucas Niang gave up a sack. That guy actually got called, you know, didn't actually count because of defensive holding penalty, but it was a clean sack. You know, it was him getting beat. And he also had a holding penalty, too. That was pretty crucial on the pass protection. So they're not perfect in pass protection, so maybe that's how they don't, you know, get in the top five, because there's some good offensive lines in the NFL. But they're getting there, and the thing is, the crazy part is they have a lot more time to go and improve. This team needs to be ready for the playoffs. It doesn't matter how good they are right now. And the way this offensive line's trending, I mean, they're going to be one of the best, no doubt, but in the postseason. I mean, it's really trending that way.
Let's take one last look at this Philadelphia Eagles game for our marinated takeaways now that our takes have marinated for a few days. And we'll start, as always, John, with your first thought on the game.
I think it's about baby steps. You know, I think that a lot of fans are so unhappy with the defense right now. They've got so many statistics where they're close to last in the league. I think it's fair to criticize the defense and be very frustrated with it. But they did do better in the red zone this week. They made plays when it mattered. You know, they got a stop late in the game that was a very important one. And that's a step forward. Yeah, they gave up 30 points, and that's bad. And, you know, nobody can say that that's all right for them to give up 30 points, even if the last six of them was in garbage time. It's not okay. You want them to do better than that. And they should do better than that, and they're going to need to do better than that as they play these better teams on the schedule. But you still want to see the team take a step forward here and there, and they did that on Sunday. So I find that encouraging. You know, we weren't going to see them go from being one of the worst defenses in the league into a top 10 unit in 1 week. That's just not going to happen, particularly right when you've got a starting defensive end and a starting cornerback missing from the team and not even have all of your backups, you know, with Rashad Fenton in the concussion protocol and Willie Gay on injured reserve. You know, that's just not going to happen till we get all these guys out here. And I thought that Ethan's article yesterday that covered those details, I thought was an excellent point, that they really haven't had their first team defense out there for any of these games. And I, you know, you don't want to make that an excuse.
Yeah.
But it's still something that's significant and something we should remember as we move forward.
I think Baker's looked pretty good to me, which I'm happy about because I think you have depth in your secondary. I do want to see Juan Thornhill just getting the start. Let us be wrong. Let us all be wrong then.
Yeah.
Like that, at a certain point, I think he needs to be back in the mix because I think you know what you're going to get from Daniel Sorensen. To me, Daniel Sorensen is the third safety in that room. And that's a great, he does a great job at that role. I think at a certain point, we just got to say, okay, let's get Thornhill back in. We know the upside there. We can get Tyrann Mathieu back to doing what he usually does. And so I'm happy with the steps the defense took. I think regardless of who's in there, these miscommunications where the Eagles are running up to the line because they know the Chiefs can't communicate is like very, very not good because it doesn't matter who's in there. Like that to me, and the tackling has been really bad. And I know that we're talking about backups, but still in the first half, especially more than the second half, I'm eager to see what Steven Spagnuolo says. But the and so those are two things, regardless of who's in there, I feel like they need to be better now.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Gay's more athletic than maybe anyone on the defense, including Tyrann Mathieu. So, I mean, that can make a huge difference. A linebacker of his level of talent may make a huge difference. The defensive line in front of him needs to be better because if they're getting 4 and 5 yards before they meet Willie Gay, it's not going to matter. So a lot has to change. But I agree. I think there was some steps taken, especially in the second half. I'm sure that's what Steve Spagnuolo was going to say on Thursday once again. But you're ready to see a complete effort from this team. And so that's where I land. We already talked about this one for my first Marinated takeaway, but it's this, John. Establish the run, establish the fun. Meaning you show that you're able to run the football like this. Now we've had two back-to-back games with Clyde Edwards-Helaire where he's able to rip off 100 yards. He looks fantastic. The holes at the right side of this line especially are making are just gaping. And I don't want to say that I could get a first down, but maybe could I get a first down? I don't know. Maybe I could find a way to do it behind this offensive line. That's the level of hole that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has right now.
Yeah.
And you see what that can do as a game goes along. If you have to start respecting Clyde and Darrell, then all of a sudden you're going to be facing Tyreek Hill and he's going to be in one-on-one coverage down the field. And you'll see that off balance throw now. Oh, the defense feels like they need to bring extra pressure. Here's my Kobe Bryant fadeaway lob pass to Tyreek Hill for his third touchdown in the quarter or whatever it was, the half.
Yeah.
So to me, it's establish the run, establish the fun. You do that early in games and you prove that you can get mean and get violent, as Trey Smith has said and made a little bit locally famous here in Kansas City. And then all of a sudden, you know, they need to bring extra players and they can't take Travis Kelce out of a game. They just have to deal with one-on-one coverage of Tyreek Hill. That's when you start to see the football throw down the field again. And so I think the Chiefs know that. I think they've learned that. We've seen now more than 50% of the run snaps, which was a good note by you, John. And I think we got to see more of that. The closer we can get to 50-50, the more fun this offense is going to be.
Well, and it is getting back to what we saw when Kareem Hunt was on the team. I mean, you know, you talk to fans and they're very much like, oh, well, we need Kareem Hunt back. Well, we're not going to get Kareem Hunt back. But if we get the right player and the right offensive line and the ability to run the ball, we can get the offense that we had with Kareem Hunt back. And that's really what everybody wants, is to see that team that can succeed at multiple levels on the offense, which just makes Patrick Mahomes better. You know, that was the season where he was, the league MVP when he had that working for him. So I think that's why the Chiefs expended that first round pick on Edwards-Helaire. I know a lot of people complain about that you should never spend a first round pick on a running back. But if it turns out that he is the key to making that happen, I think it'll be well worth it. That's just what I think.
I've been a big Clyde guy since he's been drafted. And I mean, there have been some growing pains here, but I think you're seeing all that he can do. You know what I mean? And that to me is big too. You saw he also had three targets in this game, two catches for the 12 yards and what was a touchdown. And so I think, man, the more you can make Clyde and get him to that weapon level of a Hill or a Kelce, the more Hill and Kelce are going to be able to do as well. All right, John, let's get into your next takeaway.
Yeah, I actually had an Edwards-Helaire take of my own, and I crossed it off at the beginning of the show because of something you said earlier. And this is that we probably, you mentioned earlier that who would have thought that we'd be 2-2 at this point of the season? Well, actually, a lot of people did. You know, we knew this was going to be a very difficult 5-game stretch at the beginning of the season. And, you know, I think I even at some point mentioned, you know, if we get through those 5 games and we're 3-2, well, we'll have done pretty well. And, you know, it'd be great if we get through them 5-0. But those are teams that are going to be difficult to beat. Now, it's possible we could get through these 5 games at 2-3. That's less than ideal. But if we get through the Bills and we're 3-2, that's not that far off what our expectations really should have been. I think part of the trouble is that with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback, when he'd never lost a game in September, you know, we had this idea that we're just going to come into the season and roll over everybody. Right. And, you know, that's not going to happen every season. You know, it had happened in all the seasons that Mahomes was the starting quarterback. But, you know, at some point you have to regress to the mean. And if you're going to play all these strong teams early in the season, you're going to give up a game or two. And now the Chiefs have. And, you know, it's going to be a problem later on. But they still have enough of the season left that they can counteract all of that and still put themselves in a position to be, you know, the AFC's number one seed. And if they're not, be in a position that they can do well in the postseason anyway. So I think part of the problem here in the last couple of weeks with these back-to-back losses is that our expectations were maybe a little bit too high. So that's something I think we should remember for seasons to come. It's like, it's not over till it's over, and we're a long way from it being over at this point.
John, I respect your point. The ultimate counterpoint is the quarterback stood 20-0. You know, like, I you know, unfortunately, like, I'm with you. I think you saw the beginning. It seemed like a little bit of like a murderer's row at right. the beginning mm-hmm. of the year. Like, how are yeah. you going to get through that undefeated? But then he comes out, and then Tyreek Hill's like, well, the quarterbacks are 20-0. Chris Jones, 20-0. And then you drop two of the first three. So you had that too. But I do want to compliment Mahomes on my next takeaway. And we have this quarterback in Kansas City, and he threw 3 touchdowns with 3 different arm angles, and we didn't really even make that big of a deal out of it. That's the mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah.
He threw an underhanded touchdown. He threw a shovel touchdown. He threw the regular overhand touchdown. He threw 3 touchdowns to Tyreek Hill. And it's not like we were like, whoa, 5 touchdowns, 3 with all these different arm angles. This man can throw it 180 degrees of the arm rotation, whatever you want to call it. He does no looks. And we're just like, yeah, whatever, 5 touchdowns. Could you imagine? Put yourself back in the Alex Smith days, mm-hmm. the Castle days beforehand. And then all of a sudden, there's a Sunday where Alex Smith throws for 5 touchdowns, 3 of which were different arm angles. We would be like, what the hell? Whoa, this is crazy. This is the norm in Kansas mm-hmm. City. And I've said this before, and this is real marinated, and it's going to have to marinate for 15 or 16 years. Good luck to the successor of Patrick Mahomes
yeah.
in Kansas City, because this is just never going to be replicated again. What he is able to do is never going to be replicated again, and it is the norm. Now that is wild. That's the wildest part. He does this every week, and it's just an incredible game. You know, we come out of that game, we're just like talking about how bad the defense is. That's where the Chiefs franchise is at this point. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'd hate to be that guy that has to take over. But of course, I'm sure there were people who said for the Packers, you know, nobody will ever be like Brett Favre again. We're never going to yeah. see this again. You know, and so yes, it's going to be difficult, but you never know. You just never know. Maybe this is the beginning of a string of 3 of the greatest
like
quarterbacks.
And, yeah. And Mac yeah. Jones rips off 19 completions in a row and running Brady's offense. So maybe you're right. I guess I'll just have to find the next freak in line, Matt, in 2040 or whatever. All right. Any more marinated takeaways from you, John?
Harrison Butker, perfect so far. I think that's worth mentioning.
People are going to be upset with that comment.
Yeah, well, you know, you just, I, it, you it, better the people hope. Were upset because he you know,
I mean,
to be
more
a head
from a
case
jinx
for a while,
John. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season and he hasn't missed a single thing, you know? So I think it's worth pointing out that the man has gotten over whatever it was that was troubling him last season. If in fact that's what it was, it wasn't, you know, maybe that was just a circumstance of coincidentally things falling, you know, all of his errors happening in a string. You never know about these things, or if there actually was some kind of a problem he was working through mentally, or, you know, some kind of mechanical issue with Tommy Tonson. I don't know. I'm just saying that a quarter of the way through the season, the man is perfect. And I think that's great.
Townsend has been great too. Did not have to come on the field on Sunday, which is another problem altogether.
Well, he held for
neither
did
the Eagles
punter.
Neither did the Eagles punter. A no punt regular season game. John, I do want to tell everyone this. If Harrison Butker misses an extra point on Sunday, at Arrowhead Phones on Twitter. Just make sure you remember that. Jot it down.
Support for this show comes from Saks. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe, like making vacation your whole personality with a camp shirt from Casablanca that screams Italian holiday. You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's suede Prada loafers for a dinner party or a bright theory blazer for the office. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to Arrowhead Pride's Best of the Week. You heard the guys from Out of Structure. You heard the marinated takeaways. Now, let's go across the pond to find out about these Buffalo Bills.
The most terrifying team in the NFL right now are the Buffalo Bills because they are doing it on offense and they are doing it on defense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, like you said, some people would probably argue that, you know, that look at the teams they've played. I mean, they played the Dolphins. They actually got beat off the Steelers, didn't they?
Yeah.
But like you said, you've got to play the team and beat the team that's in front of you, and that they've done that quite convincingly. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, they seem to be solid in all phases of the game as well. Defense, great defense. I think are they number one defense or something close to the top, aren't they? I think they're probably top four.
Not just number
five.
One defense, Brad. They are emulating. Currently, okay, it's only four games. They are currently emulating the 2000 Ravens. Like the 2000 Ravens are renowned for being one of the best defenses of all time. And I've got some stats for you here. After the first four games in 2000, the Ravens had a 3-1 record. They allowed 13.8 points a game. They had 10 sacks and they had 10 takeaways. The 2021 Bills, after four games, have a 3-1 record. They allow just 11 points per game. They've posted 12 sacks and they've had 11 takeaways. Like what they are doing at the moment on defense is historic. Yeah, and people might point to the quarterbacks that they've faced. They've faced what? Tyler Heinicke. They've faced Tua/Jacoby Brissett. And they've faced David Hills, is it? The Texans quarterback. I don't even know his name. Like, sorry, Texans fans. Sorry, bro. sorry, guys. But yes, they're playing bad quarterbacks, but again, they can only beat who they have in front of them. Mm-hmm. And they are not only beating them, they are destroying them. Two of those games, they haven't allowed a single point. How does that happen in the 2021 version of the NFL? How do teams post a shutout? It just shouldn't happen. And the Bills have done it twice. They've done it twice in 3 weeks. And if that doesn't terrify Kansas City fans, especially when you look at the Chiefs defense, which is the polar opposite to the 2021 Bills, and you then bring the offenses into the mix as well. It just, for me, it's just a terrible, terrible matchup for the Chiefs because the Chiefs are going to have to play a perfect game on Sunday night to beat the Bills.
That's the thing as well, because obviously the 11 points per game that you said there about the defensive side, but on the offensive side, they're averaging 33.5 points.
Yeah.
Which so is the same again,
as the exactly the
it
same,
was the same as the Chiefs. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And looking back at the previous games that the Chiefs have had, there's out of the four games we've had, three of those of the other teams got 30 points or more. Yeah. And the one that wasn't was 29 points. So you're looking at like 30 odd points that you've got to make sure that you get against the Chiefs, but hope that the Chiefs do something crazy like they did just recently, where, you know, they had the multiple turnovers, about four turnovers against the Chargers, yeah. Wasn't it? And it's proven it's doable. It's proven it's doable. If you can keep that score up and hit those 30 points, push even further. I mean, looking at 30 points for the Bills, that's easy for the Bills. Especially looking at this defense.
Against the Chiefs defense. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bills put up 70 on Sunday. It really wouldn't. Like, this offense is a kryptonite for the Chiefs, because you can, go back to the AFC Championship game and say, look at the success the Chiefs had. The Bills weren't ready for that game. The Chiefs looked like the team that had been there before. The Bills did not. That's the way that game played out. But the Bills at the moment look like the bigger boy at the moment. They're bigger, better, stronger than the Chiefs pretty much across the board, except for one key position, quarterback. But you look at the Bills' offense, they've got Diggs, they've got Samuel, they've got Sanders, they've got Moss, they've got a good offensive line. They've got Josh Allen, who can move the ball with his legs. They've got an aggressive coach. For me, they are just the worst possible matchup for this Chiefs defense. And you know that they're going to go for every single fourth down possible. And I don't think the Bills feel like they need to win the turnover battle to beat the Chiefs. I just feel like the Bills know that they can just go and score and score and score on the Chiefs. And if they have to score 55 points to beat the Chiefs, then so be it. I think the turnover battle is far more important for the Chiefs than it is the Bills. The Chiefs need to steal one or two possessions from the Bills. They need splash plays from someone in that defense, because if they don't steal possessions from the Bills, this game is going to be over really quickly. Because while I do trust the offense and I do trust the Chiefs offense to score a lot of points, if you put a gun to my head right now and said, what defense is going to get a stop, the Bills or the Chiefs? My money will be on the Bills. Yeah. It just would be on the Bills, because I feel like they can force a punt or a field goal. But right now, this Chiefs offense, Chiefs defense simply is not getting off the field. It's just not getting off. The Eagles didn't punt. I don't expect the Bills to punt. The only way they're going to get off the field is via a turnover. And this is where we need someone like Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Snead. We need one of these guys to make a play out of structure, out of the ordinary, and put that team on the back. Because if it doesn't happen, the Bills are just going to score and score. And yes, I love the Chiefs offense, but I'm just not too sure they can keep up with them.
The other kryptonite, shall we say, especially for the Chiefs defense, is the run game as well, the run D. And looking at the stats here, Buffalo is fifth in the NFL with an average of 145.3 rushing yards per game.
Which is mad, because that's totally against what the Bills did last year. But that wasn't the Bills' MO last year. Last year, they went spread, empty. They hardly used their running backs. They were like, Josh Allen, drop back 50 times, throw the ball. If you want a running play, Josh Allen will run it himself. But now they've become smarter. They're like the Chiefs offense. They've come a little bit smarter. They get taking what the defense give them, and they've got so many good weapons that they have all of their plays open all times. And it's showing. If they can rush for 145 yards a game and still score 43, average 33.5 yard points a game, then that's a really dangerous offense, especially against a defense like the Chiefs.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Looking back, especially to the AFC West, the AFC Championship game, where the Bills were still kind of rolling into Arrowhead with, you know, they were still kind of a high-powered offense, and everybody thought that they were going to be a good match for the Chiefs, but it ended up not being so, really. It was quite a bit of an easy process, wasn't it? It makes you wonder, though. I mean, is it something that can probably get into Josh Allen's head, maybe? The Arrowhead effect, maybe? I don't know. I mean, the crowds are back as well, which is a good thing. That might be something that might kind of be a bit of a neutralizer, I suppose, on Josh Allen's part. But I'm like you. I'm quite concerned about this game. It's a must-win for the Chiefs as well.
It is a must-win. But if we drop this game on Sunday, we go to 2-3. They go to 4-1. Plus, they've got the game over on us. Like, that's a hefty lead that they're going to have already. And look at their division. They're going to be able to beat up on their division all year. It's terrible, where we're going to have some really hard divisional games coming up. If the Bills win on Sunday, like, for me, they're a shoo-in for the number one seed in the AFC. So this is a must-win game for the Chiefs. Back to your point about, will the occasion be too big for Josh Allen? Maybe it will. maybe the pressure of Arrowhead, maybe the pressure of being able to call themselves AFC favorites might get to him like he did in January. Like he did. That the occasion was far too big for the Buffalo Bills in January, but they look like they've evolved from then. They look like a much stronger team. They look like they know. They look similar to the 2019 Chiefs, if we're being honest, where they come out of a disappointing AFC Championship game and they've come out on a mission. And that's who they remind me of. And I'm kind of hoping that they're not the 2019 Chiefs, but right now they're kind of playing like it a little bit.
Yeah, they're playing like literally with no fear at the minute, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right, then, should we go on to ones to watch? Should you want me to go first on this?
Go for it.
I'm going to go Stefon Diggs. He scares the life out of me, and especially the thing that gets me is like you just mentioned there, the 2019 Chiefs. Stefon Diggs, there was a picture of him watching the celebrations going off, wasn't he, on the field? He was the last guy on the field, wasn't he? Yeah. Hand on hips, and he was looking at what was going on, taking it all in. That scares the hell out of me because we're now back at this point now where we're facing the Bills again.
Yeah.
He's going to have that in his mind and he's going to make sure that he's going to want to have a dominant game in this. And especially with the way that these defensive backs are going at the moment with the Chiefs, I can see him having a real kind of hand in this game for sure.
Yeah. He's the chain mover in the offense, isn't he?
Oh,
He's ridiculous, but he's top three wide receiver. He's consistently in that top three group. He's just great. Like it's the only way to describe him.
He's
just great. And like in a game that's going to be full of great pass catchers, he is as deserving as the rest of them when it comes to accolades. So that's an interesting take on the whole watching the celebrations afterwards. That's not something I'd actually given a thought. And I'd be interested to see how many people actually have that point going forward and whether it gets brought up on Sunday in the broadcast or not. But standing there watching that, thinking, "Mike, this I'm going to be back here. I want revenge against this team." Maybe it depends if you're hot on that kind of thing. Then maybe that has some hold some substance. But for a lot of people, it won't. And my one to watch for the Buffalo Bills is Josh Allen. Josh Allen. I thought he had a terrible week one. Well, he there's no thinking about it. He was terrible week one. He looked like Josh Allen of old, but this last couple of weeks, they managed to sit him a couple of times and bring out Mitch Trubisky. That's how well he's been playing. A mindset thing more so, because the talent's there. He's good enough to beat this Chiefs defense. He can put the ball exactly where he wants it. He can run. He can beat this Chiefs defense anywhere he wants. It's just his mind. He lost his head a little bit in the last game. Do you remember he threw the ball at Alex Okafor, wouldn't he, after the sack?
And that kicked off an absolute riot afterwards.
So maybe if Josh Allen's head's right, then that's something to fear for sure for the Chiefs.
Which Josh Allen are we going to get in this game? I think it's the thing there, isn't it, for sure. For the Chiefs, I'm going to try and redeem myself here, and I'm going to go with CEH. You've got to watch him. From what I actually saw from that run game against the Eagles, I'm really excited about this offensive line. The Great Barrier Chiefs, and just seeing how CEH can operate on this. And it'd be interesting to see as well, actually, how Darrell Williams is incorporated into it as well, because he seemed to have gotten a few more touches. He got about 10 touches last time, didn't he? Last time out, and I think CEH got about 14. So they're kind of balancing it out a little bit, but CEH, I think he gets it with this O-line now.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing if he can do it against a really good defense.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this O-line against the defensive line of the Buffalo Bills because they've invested a lot into that defensive line. They threw a lot of bodies at it this offseason and come up with their best 8 or 9 guys. I think they watched the Super Bowl and thought, right, this is the way we need to beat the Chiefs. We need to get home with 4. But also the Chiefs watched the Super Bowl as well and improved the offensive line. So that would be a great battle, that really stout Bills defensive line versus this Chiefs really good run blocking offensive line. That should be one to watch for me. The Chiefs, it all comes down to splash play defenders. I've brought it up like 4 or 5 times already this podcast. Splash play defenders are going to be the difference maker on this Chiefs defense. So I'm looking at you, Tyrann Mathieu, my old friend, like Tyrann Mathieu,
mucker.
if he can make a play or two, force an interception or maybe two of them, force fumble or something, then the Chiefs win this game. But I feel like if we don't get that big play from someone like Tyrann Mathieu, then the Chiefs aren't going to win.
Right, predictions, mate. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm actually going for a Chiefs loss on this, but a very close one.
Okay.
I'm going 38-36 to the Bills, and it's a shootout.
Oh, there's so many points. But not as many points as I'm going to say.
Oh, God.
I don't think you were a fan back then, but in 2008, the Bills come into Arrowhead and absolutely went on a riot against the Chiefs and scored 54 points. long, long time ago. And I think that could probably happen this Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't trust this Chiefs defense at all.
And they stink. We talk about Sorensen. We talk about the reps that Thornhill are getting. We talk about how bad these corners are looking, and they are looking bad. Good God Almighty. But it was all supposed to be built about the guys up front. And they've just been bad compared to what you think they should be. They have been bad. And I know I've talked about Chris Jones, but hell, he certainly doesn't have a lick of help up there. And Jaron Reed, he's been a disappointment, I would say the least. It's just so I don't know how you can have great confidence on this group with what they've shown thus far.
It's puzzling, man. I don't understand it. Like, I feel like I've watched a lot of football in my day. I legitimately don't understand what I'm watching with the Chiefs defensive line. It should be better than this. It should. They've got good football players, and yet they're not playing quality football right now. And that's what doesn't make any sense. And it's why I still continue to believe that at some point it's going to click. But man, we're a third of the way through the season almost. And at some point I got to be able to see it. Kind of like what you said at the beginning of this show. I got to be able to see it to really have any belief that it's going to be any sort of consistency along the defensive line. Chris Jones has had some moments, but it's more flash than it is consistency. And I know that's kind of how it's been with Chris Jones in his career. But most of the time in Chris Jones' career, he'll have drives where he just shuts down a drive completely. I don't know that we've seen that at any point this year where it's an entire drive that Chris Jones does not allow the offense to function. Mike Dana has had some moments, but most of his numbers that you're going to see on the stat sheet are like, hey, the quarterback was running around for 5 seconds and couldn't find anybody open, and Mike Dana was able to tackle him. And credit to him, man. He's playing all right up front. He's probably been your second best defensive lineman so far this year. And that is not saying anything positive about Tershawn Wharton, who everybody loved a year ago and has really not done much for them so far this year.
Doesn't flash at all.
It's been weird. And Jaron Reed, I was excited. We did our certified our imposter on him. And I said, well, if you're asking me, is he a good football player? Like, he's certified. He's a good football player. He hasn't been good this year, so I don't get it. But going into this game, to answer the question, like, what can we expect from them? If Chris Jones doesn't play, I'm expecting very little out of them in terms of pass rush, because I don't know how I could possibly expect anything out of them right now.
Can I get a second for Chiefs fans right now who are dogging on this defense but completely overlooking Jaron Reed? You should be more upset at Jaron Reed than any other player on this defense right
now. Any other.
He was brought in on a one-year deal, but it's a pricey one-year deal to be an effective one-year player who was supposed to change the defensive line. Chris Jones could move outside because they brought Jaron Reed in, and they could utilize Chris Jones in all these unique ways that they've never been able to do before because of Jaron Reed. And Jaron Reed has been hot garbage. He's been absolutely terrible for the Chiefs. It's been an awful signing. No wonder Seattle was like, thank God the Chiefs wanted to sign Jaron Reed.
Yeah, they said, thank God. Yeah, well, my disappointment moves over to the highest paid player on the defense because he's never out there. At least Jaron Reed is out there to get his ass kicked. Frank's not even out there to get his ass whooped. So Jaron Reed's been awful. I think the big key that you said there, Serta, was he affords you to move Chris Jones outside. No, he doesn't. Not right now. He doesn't afford you to do nothing, is what he doesn't afford. He's got that good ass number, and he just needs, I mean, they gotta get something. That's what it is. And I think not as much Jaron Reed, but we do need to start pushing the issue with what the defense is built around. And that is defensive line. That's what this defense is built around. And there's no surprise that they're as bad as they are with how bad they have been up front on the defensive line.
the other thing, Ron, is in this game, like, they need their defensive line to be good, because if you get pressure on Josh Allen, he's more than happy to throw you the football. Like, oh, Josh man. Allen, his highs, the highlights that you see from his film, they're as good as any quarterback in the league not named Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not named Kyler Murray as well, because his highs are pretty incredible. But they're right up there with anybody else that you want to talk about in the NFL. His lows are as low as any quarterback in the NFL. Like, Mitch Trubisky bad. He will just, like, throw the football to nowhere in particular just because. The moment that always comes to mind for me is in the playoff game that the Bills had against the Texans a couple of years ago now, where he just, like, randomly lateraled the ball to nobody. It was like a
hot potato. Away from him a bit. Yep.
He's like, I don't know where this is going. I'm just going to throw it out there, and we'll see what ends up happening here. And that was just symbolic of how he plays the game if he is pressured. If he has any sort of pressure, whether it be just the situation in the game or the defensive line getting to him and forcing him off his spot, that's how you make him into those errant throws. But I don't have a whole lot of belief right now that the Chiefs are going to be able to do that, because they haven't shown it against anybody.
Well, that's the thought is, can the Chiefs defense, who's been dreadful, can they just be good enough to allow dumb Josh Allen to enter the game? Can they be good enough? Because Josh Allen, he'll go through those moments where he's inaccurate as hell. He'll go through those moments where he thinks he can get it in there. He'll go through those moments where he just makes really bad decisions, right? But you got to take advantage of it. And in this game, with both offenses, which it feels like I'm taking the over, I would take the over on whatever this score is. But when you look at both offenses, you feel like are going to go up and down the field. The difference in the game could be the mistakes and turnovers. And I'm telling you, I watched Josh Allen last week play against the team I cover. The first throw he threw an airmailed a receiver and threw it right to the safety, just standing right there. And they returned the ball to the 13-yard line. Now, they didn't move it from the 13-yard line. The Texans didn't, and they turned it over on downs. But that could be the difference in the game. And he's careless with the ball. He's always going to extend the play to try to make a play because he believes he can make a play, and he's been stripped doing so. And so, but if the Chiefs just give him anything he wants to where he don't have to make decisions, he don't have to think, he don't have to hold nothing, like a lot of what we saw from Justin Herbert. That wasn't a lot of – like, Justin Herbert's a good football player, but he's a great football player when it's all easy. And when you just got Mike Williams just running across the field by himself, or you got Mike Williams in single coverage against a player, Mike Hughes, who can't do anything with him, like, they can't make it that easy for him. So that's the thing, is can they just be good enough to let Josh Allen enter the game of mistake Josh Allen? And we'll see.
And he's happy to oblige. Like, well, if you get him there, he's more than happy to go there for you. You've just got to put a little bit of pressure on him, and you've got to make life difficult for him. One spot that I would say is, like, when he throws the ball in less than 2.5 seconds this year, so when he throws it, gets it out of his hand quickly, he's really good. Josh Allen this year is completing 75% of those passes with 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's a 108 quarterback rating. When he holds on to the ball, he's standing there, he's waiting, 50% completion rate, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 85 quarterback rating. He's been sacked 5 times. If he's waiting back there and you're making life difficult for him on the back end because nobody's getting open quickly, they're not showing quick, that's when you've got an opportunity. And that's when the defensive line has to start making him under pressure. And that's when he starts throwing the ball away a little bit. And those are just the interceptions that were caught. Man, you saw this in the Texans game. He's going to give you opportunities. You got to come down with him as a defender.
Yeah, he put the ball on the ground 3 times because he was extending plays and got stripped. So he's there for you, but you got to be in position to strip it. And I don't know if the Chiefs are in that position. Hey, one more thing: when the Bills have the ball, hey, the hero is back. The savior is back. Everybody's savior. You know what? I may even change my entire mind on this game because I didn't realize that Willie Gay, old W. Gay himself, they call him Big 50. Willie Gay is back, folks.
WGJ.
He's going to completely change this entire defense, is what it feels like I've heard. Boy, just wait till Willie Gay gets back. And now this defense is going to be ready to roll. He may play this week hasn't been activated yet, but he may play this weekend. If Willie Gay's out there, it seems like Chiefs fans expect that he is going to turn this thing around. They're getting Ray Lewis back Sunday. Woo!
It's a hybrid Ray Lewis, Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly with a little sprinkle of Mike Singletary, and he's ready to go. Right? That's what we're getting back.
No Patrick Willis in there?
Oh, no, he cares more than Patrick does.
That
was low, Patrick. I'm sorry.
I don't know how anybody can possibly think they know what they're getting in Willie Gay.
How did we arrive here that Will Gay is the – how many games has he played?
What is it, like six? Well, like legitimate snaps.
He's never started, so.
I think Willie Gay might be a really good player.
Heading into this Bills matchup, what intrigues you the most about the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, the number one DVOA offense versus the number one DVOA defense in the Buffalo Bills. I mean, to me, that's intriguing. And I think to me, last week, you know, when the win last week, you know, I saw the Kansas City offense that I'm used to, you know, mm-hmm. that we're all used to, that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is capable of throwing five touchdown passes. Tyreek Hill goes crazy. Like, you know, that was the time where I'm like, okay, that's the team I remember. The problem is defensively, again, going back to the DVOA numbers, that analysis, they've been near the bottom of the league defensively, both in pass coverage and pass rush, which is brutal. You can't, right. You know, defensively, they have to find a way to scheme to get the pass rush in a way that does not expose them on the back end. And I just don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can send or dial up exotic looks right. without putting your corners on an island or having to operate with one single high safety, or, you know, there's just only so many things you can do when both the very front end of your defense and the back end are not operating in unison and you're having miscommunication, which I thought, you know, Tyrann Mathieu said recently, he was talking about, you know, just the miscommunication that's going on defense. I'm hoping in my mind when I look at the Chiefs, because I want them to play at the highest level they can on both sides of the ball, it is a miscommunication issue on defense, right. where it's just these guys just aren't on the same page right now. Maybe everyone on the field isn't seeing the same thing at the same time. As the season goes on, that begins to work itself out a little bit more. Offensively, I think Josh Gordon, great addition. Very curious to see what he looks like and what he can look like in this offense. No guarantees here, because when they brought in Le'Veon Bell, I thought, hey, okay, great. There's this talent.
And LeSean McCoy. And it's like we got a veteran like this all the time. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. This is, I mean, so is it going to be another in a long line of these veterans who are brought in maybe a little past their heyday or whatever? And we think, okay, well, this is obviously naturally the perfect offense for them to, you know, experience that second wind, and then it doesn't happen. So, you know, we'll see with Gordon whether or not he can be what I think is that fundamentally important third option next to Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think everyone is really excited here to figure out, is Gordon going to be this type of player for Kansas City, the one that they've been missing for what has been a long time now? And just to point on the defense, the miscommunication is an issue, but the Chiefs are in line to get Frank Clark or whatever is, you know, whatever he is going to be able to do in this game back, and potentially Charvarius Ward. So maybe that'll help. On the other side, what did the Buffalo Bills have to show you in this game to say, okay, you know, they're a 3-1 team, but they're legitimate contenders to maybe take that AFC crown?
Well, you got to get to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you got to defensively, if you are, like I said, this is the number one defense in the NFL from a DVOA standpoint. But you have to be able to get pressure. As I said, with the Chargers and the Cleveland Browns, you have to get pressure. You have to get middle pressure. Like if you look at the Browns this season, one of the things they're doing really well on defense is, you know, you want to talk about Myles Garrett and, you know, hey, Jadeveon Clowney looks pretty good, but they've gotten some really rare middle pressure where you have like a Malik McDowell who they pick up, you know, in the offseason, expect nothing from, who is drawing double teams and although might not be picking up the statistics, is creating chaos in front of the opposing quarterbacks. I think that's what you have to do with Kansas City, even though, you know, Patrick Mahomes can break pocket or play off script and do all those things spectacularly. we have seen he is not completely immune to pressure, particularly when, you know, and you talked about this a little bit at the start, teams have started to lay back a little bit and go, you know what? We're just going to try and take away Tyreek Hill. You know, we're going to try and do what we saw in the first game of the season.
Right.
You know, and take that guy out of the equation and then see if maybe we can make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable enough to force some things occasionally. I mean, when we've seen the mistakes he's made, you know, they're mistakes of aggression. He's trying to force some, you know, force the issue. That's what I need to see from Buffalo defensively. And then offensively, I think they need to get better. You know, they're more of a middle of the road team, I think, right now offensively. Josh Allen has been more consistent the last couple of games. I think he didn't have the, you know, statistically the greatest start. Right. But to be the MVP candidate that he was last year, you know, we're talking about you know, 65 to 70% passer every single game using a plethora of different players, which he's done really well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I want to make a point quickly on your Patrick Mahomes point, and that's Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, put it really well going into the Chiefs-Ravens game, that Mahomes, in a sense, has three plays in one play each play. So you have to defend each time span that sometimes he gets where maybe after 3 or 4 seconds, and then you get to 12 seconds and so on and so forth.
Support for this show comes from Saks. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe, like making vacation your whole personality with a camp shirt from Casablanca that screams Italian holiday. You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's suede Prada loafers for a dinner party or a bright theory blazer for the office. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.